All right. That was so cool, right? That was like the best thing in the world. I just want to say as a quick disclaimer, this is probably, you know, this is why we love to have this generational, multi-generational family that God is drawing together here. The gifts of children in this space are so vital. And I don't know what God is going to do with Penelope on the other side when she's an adult in, for his kingdom, but I don't want to get in the way of what that is. Her will is so strong. I hope she always has that. And I hope it's directed for the kingdom. That was such a cool moment. Such a cool moment. Thank you for letting us be a part of that. And you all, my goodness, you all. So today, back to the prepared material. Today, we are celebrating and kind of remembering and focusing our energy around this beautiful vision of the end times from the revelation of the Apostle John that he received. We've been actually studying this revelation in our Wednesday night Bible study, and it's been a lot of fun to kind of see how, from God's perspective, what it looks like for us, what the world looks like, what time, what history looks like, all from God's eternal perspective, right? And really, today, it's hard for us to kind of see from our limited perspective what God actually has for us. And not just in the future, what God has for us today and where that whole thing is sort of headed. And so we're so grateful for these words from the Apostle John, and I want to try and center around this revelation here once again, where he's telling us, he says, look, after I saw this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language. And they were all standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You know, that's such a beautiful picture to meditate on of a world that is united with all of its various languages and people groups. It really helps us to begin to appreciate how every culture, when the faith is brought into that culture, every culture has a particular voice to be heard in its praise of God and in its telling of the good news of salvation, all telling the same truth, but sort of telling it in different ways. And I think that's part of what is so compelling for us about this vision, how enormous it is in terms of the people and the languages and all of these grand and kind of glorious things that are happening. And they're happening as far as the eye can see. They're happening in a way that has no end. But the other part that I think is so compelling about this vision is how foreign it is to our modern imagination. See, our experience and the scriptures agree that despite God's intention and imagination for your life, you and I and every human being were born into a world touched by sin, and that sin touches us. G.K. Chesterton has a great quote. He calls sin the only part of Christian theology that can truly be proven. Right? The rest of it has to be taken by faith. See, before the 9 months that you spent growing in your mother's womb, before you took your first breath, before you crawled around on the floor like a little cute human Swiffer mop, sin touched your heart so that you and I would be spiritually separated from God forever. And this is the world that we live in. This is the world that we intuitively know and understand apart from Christ. And the same Apostle John who saw and wrote the Revelation is encouraging early Christians who are facing persecution in his letter in 1 John. He says this. He says, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The reason the world does not know us is because the world did not know him. You see, our neighbors may decorate their houses for Christmas, and they may do it before Thanksgiving. I don't know. I want to get those lights up really early. Our neighbors may take photos at Easter egg hunts. But the scriptures are telling us that they don't really know Jesus. They don't really know the teaching of Jesus that says to seek first the kingdom of God, and the rest of their life will fall into its proper place. They don't really know the teaching to not lean on their own understanding, because their heart is wicked and corrupt above all else. They don't really know the teaching of Jesus to love your neighbor as yourself, to even love your enemies, and to pray for those who persecute you. See, the world doesn't know Jesus, and on our own, neither would we, because salvation does not belong to you or to me. It doesn't belong to the world. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and by His grace, it belongs to those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You know, this is a different kind of view of baptism than the one we mostly portray, right? Even just today that we saw here, when we usually talk about baptism, we usually talk about the life that we receive and this forever family that we become a part of, the forgiveness of sins that's given to us, and the faith that is instilled in our hearts. But there's another promise of baptism that Jesus tells us. He says, if the world hated Him, they're going to hate us too. That the world persecuted Him, and they're going to persecute us too. The world did not understand Him, and the world does not understand us either. The struggle that as a Christian we may face in this world, right, when we're faithful, is not just because we're part of a fallen world, but it's because we have been brought into a persecuted church. The Revelation calls this the Great Tribulation. Because what does the world know? It knows power. So strength through dominance. It knows scarcity. So accumulation as much as possible. It knows love as divisive, mercy as conditional, and faith as nonsense. In short, it knows sin and the consequence of sin, which is death, but not just death at the end, death and decay all along the way. The reason the world doesn't know Jesus is because to truly know Him is to trust His promises. The promises that while this world and our very lives may be decaying, that His word lasts forever. The promise that He and the Father are one. So if we want to know what God looks like, we can truly see Him in Jesus. The promise that in this world we will have struggles, but we can be brave because Jesus has overcome this world. And they certainly don't know the promise of this passage. The promise that when a sheep who has been wounded becomes a shepherd, they wipe away tears. At the end of this vision, he sees this great multitude of people under the care and the presence of God in such a way that they aren't hungry anymore. They aren't thirsty anymore. The temperature of the room is just right. And their entire focus can be on the Lamb and on praising Him. And this is what they say: there was a Lamb at the center of the throne, and that Lamb will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. To truly know Jesus is to know Him as the Lamb who was slain for the sin of the world, and to know Him as the shepherd who wipes away tears. And to know Jesus this way takes faith. faith that is given in baptism and sustained over a lifetime. A lifetime that may not be full of the images of our victory over sin that we see in this passage from Revelation, but rather a life that is full of the images that we see in the Beatitudes. In this life, we need a lamb who becomes a shepherd, who wipes away tears when we are poor in spirit, when we mourn, when we are meek, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, when we are merciful, when we strive to be pure in heart, when we become the peacemakers, and when we are persecuted for righteousness. The Beatitudes remind us of God's blessing in life's most difficult circumstances. And this vision of the Lamb is a reminder that in the hands of God, even our most painful experiences can become a source of comfort for others. You know, when a wounded lamb becomes a shepherd, they wipe away tears. When a person who experienced a really tough childhood becomes a mentor or a coach, they wipe away tears. When a girl from a broken home becomes a wife and a mother, she wipes away tears. When a man who grew up in poverty and scarcity becomes a generous giver, he wipes away tears. And when lost and sinful people become the light of the world, they wipe away tears. See, today we remember the lives of those faithful departed saints, many of whom were able to do just that same thing for others. We've been in a sermon series for the last few weeks called Under the Circumstances, Leading in Anxious Times. And it didn't take a rocket scientist to anticipate that October and November would be filled with anxiety for folks. And of course, it hasn't disappointed. And the hope has been that we would translate the principles and the lessons that we see in the book Congregational Leadership in Anxious Times into the spaces where God calls us to lead today, whether that's at home or at work, maybe that's at school, or even in this congregation, as we have so many leaders here. We want to understand that Christ calls his disciples to do more than simply exist within anxious times, but to be calm and courageous leaders no matter the times. And in the midst of all of this anxiety and uncertainty, what keeps you from losing sight of the light of Christ? I believe there is something to be found when we are able to take our experience of this world in all of its beauty, complexity, but often brokenness, and bring it to a vocation of supervision or watching over the people who are currently experiencing what we have been through. I think that's when we can see the promises of God that we will know in eternity begin to be materialized and take shape even in this world. It may take a lifetime for us to learn how God is going to do that for each one of us. But it's not only Jesus or the great saints of old who wipe away tears in God's kingdom. In anxious times, he is calling each one of us to be the light of the world, the lambs who have become shepherds, so that we can wipe away tears. Let's pray together. Gracious Shepherd, you see us in all of our joys and our sorrows, and you lead us to waters of life. As we look to your vision of a redeemed world, give us courage and faith to walk as your people here and now. Help us to see the places where we can bring your comfort, to offer kindness where there is hurt, to be calm and hopeful in anxious times. Fill us with your Spirit so that we would be the lights in the darkness, always pointing back to the Lamb who saves and to the true Shepherd who heals. We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen.